North Georgia Business Radio presents the best of Business Radio X. Business Radio X serves as the voice of business in cities around the country. And every day, Business Radio X lets you hear from business leaders, executives, managers, and entrepreneurs, allowing them to share their stories of success. I'm Mike Salmond, and today on the show, we're going to share some of the conversations heard recently in our Gwinnett studio. You'll hear about groundbreaking, state-of-the-art technology that's creating intelligent buildings, helping first responders when it comes to shootings, fires, and other deadly situations. Also today on the show, a longtime TV news reporter will offer tips on how your business should speak to the media. And later on, we'll learn about the newest workout rage that's sweeping the country. But up first, an Atlanta staffing service is effectively using video to help place their top candidates. On this episode of How's Your E-Presence, host Mark Galvin discusses online video with Jeff Bond, the manager of a local employee staffing firm.
Video is important. You do some things on video, and I'd like for you to share that. What do you do, and how do you leverage that?
Yeah, so one of the things in our business is that we really like to bring our most placeable candidates, our top candidates, you know, to the market. We like to put them to work. And so how do we set them apart in a very busy climate where people, hiring managers, are reviewing resumes and trying to pass judgment and decide, do they want to bring somebody in?
How do you engage those, your clients, to take these candidates, right?
Right. And so, and it's a common complaint that we hear amongst hiring managers is they get all these resumes, and even recruiters, they see thousands of resumes. It's overwhelming.
Oh my gosh,
nobody wants to read anything.
Yeah.
They don't have time.
You bet.
You know, it's the last thing. It's the most important thing is who you hire, but at the end of the day, is how do you select them? How do you read a piece of paper, a resume, and really pass judgment?
Sure.
And by the way, people are terrible resume writers for the most part,
yeah,
right?
They are.
And none of us are professionals at that, and nor do we want to be, right?
Right.
And so videos are a great way for us to really showcase our top candidates and to bring that to the market amongst hiring managers so that they can then get excited about that person as we are.
You know, and it's a way to interact with your candidates.
That's right.
Right. So I can say, like, for example, hearing you on the radio, you've got a great voice, right? And you're communicating well. And that's a good medium. You are sharing a little bit more than what people would read about you because they can hear how you communicate. Couple that with video, they can see you're presentable, you have good mannerisms, you have good people skills because you're able to express that on video. And it makes you somebody that I want to do more business with because I like how you present yourself. I like how you speak, not just what I can see on paper. Because if somebody has a great resume, chances are very likely that they did it by committee. If they're smart, right?
Oh, yeah.
They had you look at it. They had me look at it. So that may not be a real true representation of their
authenticity.
That and their professionalism.
Sure.
Right? What happens when they're under pressure? What happens when they show up in front of me? Now, when you put a camera in front of you, you're probably going to change.
Sure.
So there's a little bit of pressure with that. So you can see.
Or you walk into an interview. I mean, it's full of pressure.
All of those things.
Yeah.
Video does help to answer those questions.
Sure.
But you do something else. Now, you use it to help people get jobs or place them. I shouldn't say necessarily jobs. You're an outplacement center. So you help people fill temporary roles to a full-time job.
Temporary or full-time.
Okay.
Yeah, we place people in all types of employment.
Great. You're doing some stuff on social media. What else are you doing?
So one of the cool things, and I really have to give credit to the marketing department that we have at Roth Staffing, is they believe, like you said at the very beginning, that it is about your individual brand just as much as it is the company brand. And so, you know, really it's uplifting others by sharing curated content that people are taking time to put together that provides value to the communities that we serve, whether it's, you know, the steps in which you can nail an interview or how to really identify and select the best candidate for your team if you're a hiring authority.
So they're pulling content.
So they're pulling content.
They're not generating all that. They're identifying outside firms or organizations or even, you know, journalistic people that are putting that together and they're dropping it into your feet.
Correct. Giving credit where credit's due, right?
Brilliant.
I mean, it's not all self-serving, narcissistic, you know, it's all about us. We're just promoting our own brand. Granted, there's that piece of it too, right? We always want to attract. We're a business just like every other company out there wants to draw attention and make it profitable. You know, at the same token, we realize that there's a whole community of people that we serve that need information that's valuable to them, that helps them be better interviewers, that helps them be better hiring managers or leaders in their organization. And so the content that we curate and that I like to put out there is intended to provide value to others.
You're serving your community, but if I'm consuming your social media and I see that you're sharing this content, I'm going to be impressed with your brand. You have a talent of identifying good quality content, and you care enough about your audience to share that. I think that's great. Do you record video that you put on your own social media?
I do. So I've kind of taken that upon myself because I really feel like there's a gap in terms of how most staffing companies represent their candidates. And sometimes if you're just, I call it schlepping resumes or the spaghetti effect or throwing resumes against the wall to see what sticks.
Right.
Like I really try to bring those resumes to life and those people to life because they have intrinsic value that we've identified through our interview process. And so I record videos on LinkedIn and I'll put sub captions on it and everything if you can't listen to the audio.
So these are candidates that you're dropping video, you're grabbing video. So you've got candidates that you bring them in, you'll do a video, you'll do the captions, and you'll push that out to social media. Now, who are those folks that are the potential workers?
We call them ambassadors of our firm.
Okay, great. So you have these ambassadors come in. They're doing the video. You're promoting. Not only are you promoting your internal stakeholder, but now your external stakeholders, those people that are hiring you to fill roles, are now able to see people. How often do people call you and say, I want to talk to, you just had Joe on today. I'd like to talk to Joe.
Yeah, it really captures the attention. And so our candidates, our ambassadors, can come in and they can also record a video of themselves highlighting their skills and expertise, their personality, their proudest accomplishments, the tools that they've used, what sets them apart from other candidates. And it truly does.
Cool.
It sets them apart from other, resumes, because at the end of the day, we're people, right?
Right.
And there's a very human element in staffing, selecting who's going to be the best for your team that's outside of a resume that you can just not read on paper. So being able to see people present themselves and really get excited about what sets them apart, it really makes a difference. And it makes a difference for the hiring managers, too, because it saves them all the time of going through the awkward phone screens and their interview process and everything. They could just review some videos and say, wow, that person really grabs me.
And they can take that and they can share it with someone else and say, hey, here's the person we're looking at bringing in.
That's right.
I like that.
So here's a 1 minute video, hiring manager. Would you rather read a whole resume or read a novel, or would you rather look at a video and really see those highlights, as presented by the candidate themselves?
How many other, have you seen anybody else do this?
It is a proprietary solution. We had built this system for our company. I don't see a lot of companies doing it. I've heard that some have adopted video in terms of presenting candidates, but I think it's really, helping to kind of shepherd or guide, as I call it, our candidates to really present themselves well in the best light and, making sure that they take it seriously.
If I'm going to look at hiring someone, or if I need someone that can help out in the short term, I'm definitely going to look to you guys because I can see that. I could call you, and this is something I bet you could do. You say, we've got somebody. We just did a video with him. Mm-hmm. Go check out our social media feed. And we had Allison, the candidate that we want to send your way. You can quote unquote meet her on my social media feed.
Yeah. Well, we call it a one-way video, and a lot of the times we will protect the videos from posting them on social media just because there's confidentiality and issues that people have. You don't want to open the floodgates to tons of people contacting them out of the blue.
That's a good point.
So we are sensitive to the URLs that we produce of their videos when we share them with hiring managers and decision makers. But a lot of the times we'll go out of our way to present a candidate, in more of a confidential way on social media.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how do you see an ROI coming out of your social media work?
So it's really produced a lot of people reaching out to me specifically. And, it's something that I've adopted more so recently.
Sure.
And so I'm still evaluating the actual revenue and the ROI.
Okay.
And I will be evaluating as I go.
We'll have you back. See how that goes
in six months to
a year, right?
But I've already gotten a lot of contacts and traction. I've been asked to write articles, and provide thought leadership. You're having me on the podcast, on the show.
There you go. Absolutely.
So it's definitely working.
That's host Mark Galvin speaking with guest Jeff Bond on How's Your E-Presence. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on How's Your E-Presence. Coming up later in the show, how to act when you're being interviewed by the media. Plus, a look at how CrossFit is changing the way people work out. But up next, how technology is helping first responders at school shootings and other life-threatening situations. North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X continues after this. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. It seems that every time we turn on the news, we hear about deadly school shootings, fires, or other tragic situations. Well, now technology is stepping in to help first responders. New state-of-the-art technology is creating intelligent buildings, which combines video monitoring, cloud technology, physical technology, and personnel to reduce risk to first responders during a dangerous event. On this week's Case in Point show, which airs every Wednesday from the Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett, host Rick Strawn of Paradigm Security Services speaks with Don Ansley and Rob Drake with technology company ACG Solutions about the new technology and intelligent buildings.
Being a former first responder in law enforcement, you know, my whole idea with the schools is let's do whatever we can do to stop the threat as quick as possible. And, you know, I know that you begin with in your system and with the ability to lock down the schools. And you can work off, it works off a command center. And let's just say one of Paradigm's command centers is taking care of it. They can lock everything down. They can see all the cameras. They can tell where the perpetrator is. They can follow the perpetrator. I mean, tell whether there's multiple perpetrators, multiple gunfires, different areas. There is so much to this system that can be done or can be used to possibly even eliminate that threat, perhaps even before the 3, 4, 5 minutes that it takes for law enforcement to actually get their group together, get to where they are, and respond on site.
That's where technology steps in, is that the technological tools that we have help to mitigate that threat much faster than a human is able to respond to that. You know, again, like you said, 3 to 5 minutes for the average law enforcement response time. Well, this is now providing information almost instantaneously to the first responders, so that that information is relayed to the first responders and they are made aware of the situation before. I know that anytime thinking about responding to an event or responding to something, the first question is always what happens, what's going on, and so now these questions are being answered by the technology pieces that we have to help in that threat response time.
It's where you can set it up where that command post can, let's say you have a resource officer on site in a school, and we're going to talk a lot about schools, but it really affects any business.
Yes.
You've got to know what's going on inside that place, and it gives you those eyes and ears that's sitting on that console to tell that resource officer what's going on, that you can get this information, and you've got law enforcement or that resource officer going to come into the area. You can say, well, he's in the lunchroom. There's doors on the south side, the north side, the east side, and the west side. He's facing the south side. If you enter on the north side, you'll be entering to his back, and he will not see you until you already see him. That is just the difference maker.
Like any situation or event, it's the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so now you know where you're responding to in the event, how you should respond to the event. And then it helps to answer all of those questions so that you can make a more informed decision responding to an event. And it's not just school shootings. Obviously, that is a big part of what it does. But
it's any business.
Yes, sir. A gas leak, an explosion at a factory, a fire, you know, any of those things. This helps those first responders respond to that event. Where are we staging at? Where is our on-site command post going to be? Where are we lining up ambulances in the event that you need that first aid? Where is all this taking place?
And so now the main fire is limited to the north wall,
yes,
on the
sir.
Interior.
Yes, sir.
So you're clear to go, yes, in
sir.
From the south to the east, and you just knowing where everything specifically is and what's going on.
Yes, sir. So these tools are available to help these companies in the event of an emergency.
Well, you know, you've got that. You've got, you know, just workplace violence.
Yes, sir.
You've got someone in there. I mean, you can tell, do they have hostages? Where mm-hmm. are they? Are they sitting? Are they standing? Are they lying? Is your field of view clear? Is your shot view clear? Mm-hmm. I mean, is the ceiling engulfed? Are you going to be in danger when you come into the ceiling falling if it's a fire? I mean, there are so many avenues that can be covered on this. You know, there's just so many things with this system that is great. But I know earlier this year, your company introduced a threat response solution called SOAR, now, which stands for Synchronized Orchestrated Response. I'll get my tongue untied in a minute. Which features are a combination of technologies, including advanced sensing technology to detect gunshots faster, remove human error in active shooters, which is what we've been talking about. And you talked a little bit about that solution. And I kind of want to interject something here. I know that y'all actually have a demonstration scheduled at the Sonesta Hotel here in Duluth coming up. Can you talk just a little bit about that for a minute?
It is next Tuesday, the 23rd. We are doing it at 2 o'clock at the Sonesta Hotel on Pleasant Hill Road in Duluth, Georgia. I'll go ahead and give you my email address and our telephone number. I'd love to share that with you. And so if you're listening to this out there and you want to know more information about what we've got going on, please feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to share this information with you. I'm going to give you our office number. Please call and say, hey, I'm interested in learning more about the SOAR event that you guys have in Gwinnett County. And we also, on the next day, so that's just the Gwinnett County one, since we talked about the Sonesta one, we actually, on the very next day, the 24th at 9 a.m. in Athens, Georgia, at the Athens Chamber of Commerce, we are doing this same demo. So if you're listening and you're in the Athens market, and you're interested, please reach out to us. We'll be happy to put you on the list, happy to have you there. And then that afternoon at 2 o'clock as well, we will be in Hall County in Gainesville, Georgia. If you're a local Atlantan like I am, you remember the Olympics in 1996. We will be having our event at the Olympic Rowing Center at 2 o'clock that afternoon. So that's three events that we have in about a 36-hour period that we're really trying to spread this message of how we can mitigate threats and help to cut down on first responders' time. And the whole point of all of this is to save lives. That's the technology that we have is in place to save lives. So what I'm going to do, so again, I'll just, those three dates, it's the 23rd at the Sonesta Hotel on Pleasant Hill Road in Duluth, Georgia.
And that's at 2 o'clock.
Yes, sir. The morning of the 24th at 9 a.m. in Athens at the Athens Chamber of Commerce. And then that afternoon, the 24th, at 2 o'clock at the Olympic Rowing Center in Gainesville, Georgia. I'm going to give you my email address. I'm going to give you our telephone number. If you are interested in attending one of those, please reach out to us. Our phone number is 770-869-9703. Again, it's 770-869-9703. And my personal email address is rdrake, and that's R-D-R-A-K-E, at acg-solutions.com. So rdrake@acg-solutions.com. Again, if you're interested in attending those events, please reach out.
Anybody that owns a business or anybody that's just interested in seeing what the latest cutting edge technology is in response, attend one of those.
Absolutely.
I mean, if nothing else, just to know what's going on. It's always better to know, and then you never know when that need's going to come up that mm-hmm. you're going to want to get involved in it.
Absolutely. So going back to what we talked about with SOAR, SOAR is Synchronized Orchestrated Response. We have taken the technologies, again, that we have, that we are familiar with, that we have implemented. We have tied them together, and it's a layered approach as far as safety is concerned. So it's the gunshot detection that Don mentioned. It's your camera systems. It's your access control. It's your fire systems.
And the ability to, the most important part, the ability to communicate.
The goal is to be proactive, not reactive.
That's Rick Strawn, the host of Case in Point, speaking with Don Ansley and Rob Drake on how their technology is helping first responders in dangerous situations. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on Case in Point. Coming up next, what business leaders need to know when speaking to the media. And later on, we'll hear about the newest workout rage that's sweeping the country. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the Best of Business Radio X, where we are sharing some of the recent interviews from our Gwinnett studio. TV, radio, and newspapers are frequently interviewing business leaders. Sometimes it's good news, sometimes it can be bad news. Either way, if the media knocks on your door, will you know what to say and how to say it? In this interview from Strategic Insights Radio, which airs every Friday on Business Radio X, media expert and former Atlanta TV news reporter Duffy Dixon joins host Jennifer Roos to discuss the do's and don'ts of being interviewed by the media.
Talking at a networking event is one thing. Learning your pitch is one thing. But sitting through an actual interview for television, radio, or any kind of print media is totally different.
It really is. And what I've learned over the many years I've done this is it doesn't matter the size of the company. A lot of people have no concept of how the media develops their stories. There's not a big process into what are they going after or what is the message I want to send. You know, you have one shot, and it is very different, as you said, than it used to be. It's a 24/7 news cycle. And whether you like that or not, that's the reality. The genie is out of the bottle. Social media, it's there. If you don't like it, you have to acknowledge it's going to be there. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. So businesses need to understand that. And media operates at such a faster pace than most other things. So when the media calls, which you should just automatically, hopefully, they if they call, it's for a good story.
Yeah.
But shouldn't every company have a plan for when the media calls?
They should. What's funny is a lot of small businesses, because the first thing they think of is they're not going to call me. But that's not the reality. There could be something that happens in social media that they pick up on. It's some announcement that you made that fits into what they wanted to get out there. And they will call you. And when they call, you can't be like, well, I'll call you back.
Right. Or,
because guess what? They're not going to call you back.
Right. That was really the first thing. I've done some media training, and I explained to them. I said, when we call, we mean we want to come over in the next half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we operate on a daily schedule. These are not long-form programs that will air in 2 weeks. This is tonight's news or the news at noon. So be prepared. If someone calls, and you're right, we need an expert. Like, I had a list of people I could go to who were experts in their field. They knew that when I called them, if they can, they've got to be available immediately.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I've been in a situation where I've had to turn down media because I was in with a client that I could not get out of. There was just no way around that. But I actually made that clear why I wasn't taking that call at that time or that meeting at that time, because I couldn't have them come in.
Right.
But for the most part, yeah, even when I'm with a client that I can just step away and say, hey, I need 15 minutes or I need a half hour to step away, I do it, because that's what you have to do. Because that's the one shot. The only time that that's different, as you're aware, is when you're talking about print media.
Right.
Because then they can actually schedule a time with you. They'll do a phone interview. They'll do an in-person. But they have a leeway time of usually anywhere from 10 days to 45 days out, because they're going to be the next issue.
Exactly. And when it's funny, we'll call and say, we're with the TV news, and they'll say, well, can we do it over the phone? We can, but I'm in television, so I really would love to see your face.
Exactly.
That would make it a lot easier.
I come from the old school of business, right? So we actually had to go through, we were required to go through media training.
Right.
And now it's not a requirement for most companies. We knew we were going to eventually run into the media because of the company I worked for.
And I think nowadays it's even more important, and I wouldn't even call it media training. You know, everyone has a cell phone, and you need to assume anyone can be recording at any time. So that really, whether you like that or not, that is the reality. So it could be you're in an event and someone is, you know, whether you know it or not, they have their phone or they come up to you and ask a question. It's just, you know your audience, but be comfortable. When that happens, how do you handle it? And you want to make sure you're the one in control of the situation, and not in a hostile way, but you never want to be caught off guard. This is another thing people don't seem to understand. An interview may last, I mean, mine were usually 5 to 10 minutes maximum, because I'm listening for what I want to hear to put in the story. But your soundbite, which is the part I use where you're talking, 10 to 15 seconds. It used to be 30 seconds, but now it can be even shorter. So you need to be on message, and you need to keep to your message. Now, that being said, answer the question too.
Yes.
A lot of people are so on message that I'll say, how blue is the sky? Well, what I want to talk about, you know, you have to answer. It's great to listen to the question, but yeah, you want to stay on message, and you want to practice getting your point out in 15, 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it's about the soundbite. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, whether it's print, radio, television, whatever it is, it's that little soundbite that's actually what they're going to use.
And it, you know, some people are big ums and ahs. They're slow talkers. I'm a fast talker, so that can be a problem too. But people need to practice. We know 30 seconds in our head because we've done it before, but people need to practice that.
One of the big things that they used to have us do is film ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I always make people do this.
So filming yourselves, going in front of a, also going in front of, just in front of a mirror.
Yes.
It's very funny because things like where you hold your hands, how you move, how you talk, what expressions you have.
And practice keeping eye contact. Mm-hmm. And if you can, looking in the mirror, it's very disconcerting. You'll start figuring out, too, if your mouth, like I'm a sideways talker. I found this out the hard way after being a journalist. But you have to practice, especially if you're an anchor, you need to get in front of the mirror and practice looking at what your face looks like when you talk.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is, and we were talking about this ironically before that we sat down to this, is scripting. Okay, there is a difference between doing research in understanding a topic, in knowing your topic, and writing every word down and reading off a piece of paper. Trust me, that is not a good idea.
Think about every time you've heard a public speaker, lately especially. Mm-hmm. The scripted, even if you have a teleprompter, it does not work. I mean, unless you're an elected official and you really have to stay on, you know, your message, you are so much better off, as you said, researching, and then realize questions are asked with who, what, why, where, when, how. Mm-hmm. Be able to answer those questions and talk as a human being.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
And especially if it's your business, you know about it. Mm-hmm. Something should not, you know, throw you off guard. Mm-hmm. But people connect to people. Mm-hmm. Your best stories are about a person, not the issue. You can talk about an issue, but people connect with people. Mm-hmm. And so if you're reading a prepared script, I'm not getting any sense of you.
Nope. And the other thing is, don't lie. Oh, yeah. If you do not know the answer for something, then just say, you know, I might have to get back to you on this.
That's a great question. I actually would love to look into that more and get back to you. And when you say that, you need to get back to them.
Oh, yes. Without question. But don't turn around and start coming up with something else or answering it a different way.
No.
Just don't.
That's media expert and former TV news reporter Duffy Dixon with host Jennifer Roos on Strategic Insights Radio. To catch the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and click on Strategic Insights Radio. Well, stay tuned. Coming up next, what is CrossFit and why does it seem that everybody's doing it? Hear the scoop on the growing workout craze coming up next on North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. Back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. Of course, everybody wants to be in shape, and it seems every day there's a new diet or a new workout routine making the rounds. When it comes to working out, more and more people are leaving the old style gym and traditional regimens for a newer trend called CrossFit. You now see CrossFit shoes and CrossFit on TV and CrossFit competitions. But what is it, and is it right for you? Business owner Tommy Morris runs CrossFit Faded Glory in Braselton, Georgia. He was a guest on Gwinnett Business Radio, a show I host alongside Steve and Julian, and we asked Tommy about the latest workout trend. People hear it all the time. It's the new catchphrase when it comes to working out and being in shape, but a lot of folks don't understand what CrossFit is.
It's scary that term has a negative, you know, ring to it. CrossFit basically is high-intensity functional movements varied. So we take the basic movements of life. If you drop your keys and you bend over to pick them up, you're doing a deadlift. If you're putting a thing of cereal up in the cupboard, you're doing an overhead movement.
We exercise more than we thought.
Exactly.
We're grabbing for that other cupcake.
Especially because when I reach over to grab my keys, I go, So yeah, I'm working
so
out.
Exactly. Now, what we do is we can, depending on your abilities and your movement history, we can actually help you develop load and intensity to help get you to where you're trying to go. So I've got a member that's 66 years old, hadn't worked out in 35 years, literally walked in, retired, said, my wife needs me to do something. And so I decided to join a CrossFit gym. No clue, never worked out. He is in love. I mean, he comes in 3 days a week. He's there every morning at 8 a.m. He knows his limitations. He knows what he can and cannot do. But week by week, we're progressively putting that load on, getting him a little bit more intense in the workout. We have what's called a workout of the day. Every movement we do in that gym is scalable. So if you're a beginner, everything from an 11-year-old girl that comes in with her mother to work out at night just to have some family time, to a 66-year-old retiree who's just looking to get back in shape so he can hang out with his sons and his grandchildren.
You know, Mike asked, what is CrossFit? I think other people might go, well, I know what CrossFit is, but they have a misconception about
Correct.
It. And they think of the screaming and grunting and, you know, lifting giant tires and stuff like that. But to just kind of clarify, your job as the trainer and all the trainers' job is to figure out where to start.
Correct.
So that you can have success and then build on that success. Am I saying that correctly?
100%. So, you know, if somebody came to us for the first time, they're just looking for an opportunity to try us out. I want you to get to know the community. We have 100 plus members. We give you a 5-day free trial to make sure that you come in. Our goal is to get you in that door, but it's to keep you in that door. And the way we're going to keep you is to give you a good workout, help you get back into shape, let you feel that every day you leave there, whether it's sweating, sore the next day, whatever it is, you're getting the results that you're looking for. But more so than anything, that the community is what you're buying into, because it is more expensive than going into a local Globo gym or some of these other franchises where you're going to come in, you're walking in with no plan. We're developing that plan for you.
Yeah, so that was going to be my other question is what makes you guys different from a, you know, insert gym name here, where you walk in, there's a ton of equipment, and they offer classes, but you're really kind of left on your own to do your own thing. Is everybody that comes in assigned to a class and assigned to a workout? I mean, kind of.
Correct.
So everybody gets instruction.
100%. So we do have different programs. We have everything from a boot camp style class, which is like a light CrossFit. We have a CrossFit class. Those are the group classes that we offer. And we offer seven a day. I have open gym where I'm actually open from 5 a.m. to about 7:30 p.m. every day. Saturdays, we're there from 6 a.m. to about 2. A lot of your CrossFit gyms are more boutique style. They're going to have 5 classes a day, 1 hour long, and at the end, that trainer's got to go. So he's locking the door, and you're out the way. So with CrossFit, there's a lot of skill training. It's a lot of fun. So you find people that get in here, and they're looking to – they've never done a pull-up. But to get a pull-up, you got to work at it. If you come in and you do an hour class, we're going to have you on ring rows because we want you to get the best workout of the day. We want you to leave there sweating, feeling good. However, there's still a skill that we need to work on. So we have guys that will women and men that will stay after, and we'll progressively work them into that pull up. So we really have stepped up. I mean, I like to think I've got the best CrossFit gym in the Southeast, to say the least. We're definitely the most stocked and equipped gym to really provide a lot of variedness in our workouts. We don't have to run a 400 meter every day. I mean, I got ski ergs, bike ergs, air runners, aerosol bike. You know, we got a number of tools to help get people to where they're trying to get.
A lot of folks refuse to go into a gym or a CrossFit because they think everyone else is looking at me. I don't look like her. I don't look like him. And they're so conscious about the way they look. It sounds like you can come in. You're not being judged when you walk through that door.
I tell you what, I'll share my story real quickly. I was an old meathead. For 20 years, I was in that gym, you know, chest one day, legs the next, shoulders, so on and so on. But for 20 years, I was looking, you know, as I got older, and I have 4 kids, you know, I was out back. I was 240-pound meathead, and I couldn't run with my son, who was 2 years old at the time. And so I started looking for different things, and I heard about CrossFit, and I was a guy at the pool when people would talk to me about CrossFit that I would say, you're just going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. I'd never done a CrossFit class. And here I am. I tore my pec muscle, bicep, had rotator cuff surgery. So I was getting hurt in the traditional gym, right? So long story short, I had found a local affiliate. up the road from me, and four different times I pulled in that parking lot before I walked in because I was scared to death because I thought everybody was going to, you know, I thought of the endurance side. Like, I know I was strong, but I thought, man, I can't run. I haven't run 100 yards, much less a mile. So I walk in, and it was the 100% opposite of what I thought. I mean, they're everyday people, all shapes and sizes. We walk in, and it was, I'll never forget, it was a 400-meter run. It was like a 20-minute AMRAP, which means as many rounds as possible. So a 400-meter run, it had 10 wall balls, and it had some overhead squats. And within about 10 minutes in, I realized I was way over my head. But as I was walking on one of those laps, a guy who had already finished started running with me. He said, come on, man, let's go. You can do this. And I hadn't even met the guy yet. The family and the community is what CrossFit is truly about. And I tell you, I have another lady that comes in, trains 5 days a week. She's lost over 30 pounds. She was diabetic, had diabetes too. She's no longer on medicine. CrossFit's out there trying to fight chronic disease. And that's what we want to get. We want to get people off the couch, in the gym, in the box, working out, getting healthy, trying to just substitute some of the things that we do, sitting on the couch, sitting at a desk, not moving. We want to get people moving again.
And real quick, for those that say, and I know you hear this excuse all the time, I don't have time. I know a lot of these places have like 30-minute work. Are they set up as 30-minute workouts, or are they?
So they're typically an hour. Each class is an hour.
An hour, okay.
Yes, sir. So we'll actually get you in there, and we're going to give you the maximum. We're going to get you as soon as you walk in the door, as soon as it's 6, you know, if it's 6 a.m., it's time to go. So we're warming you up, 10-minute, anywhere from an 8 to 10-minute warm-up. We have a strength of the day. We want to get everybody kind of, again, whether it's a back squat, a clean and jerk, a snatch, whatever the movement of the day is. And then we have what's called a WOD, which is the workout of the day. And it's going to be a lot of varied movements tied in together. We really try to focus on a lot of aerobic and anaerobic pieces, really trying to keep people the intensity up. So, again, if you can't do something, we're going to scale it back to make sure you can get a good workout in.
And you also mentioned like up to 7 classes a day.
Yes, sir.
I know some places they have them in the morning and then some at night. Some places don't have any in the middle of the day for the person that, you know, can do it in the middle of the day. And that's maybe the only time they can do it. Where are you pretty much all
yes,
over
sir.
The place?
Yes, sir. We're at 5:30, 6:30, 8:30, 9:30, noon, and then 4:30, 5:30, 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
And then on Saturdays, we're at 8 a.m. and 9:30. And then everything in between is what's called open gym. We do have a coach on staff, myself, another coach, that if they're working out, we have people come in all throughout the day because I got ministers who can't come in during those class times, but they want to get a good workout.
Right.
So we're always open for those
and,
people.
And during the open gym, is it one of these where if you've been in classes, you can kind of do your own workout, you can kind of try, and the workout of the day is maybe posted, and they go, oh, I know what to do there.
Yes, sir. So we have a whiteboard, so yeah. Everything's written on a whiteboard. Everybody will see the workout of the day, and they'll come in, and they'll ask the questions. We'll make sure if there's any scalable options we need to create for them, if there's weights that we need to help them set up, and then we'll get them through their workout, set the clock.
So I'm a history buff. CrossFit is relatively new in the workout realm, just in the last 20 years or so kind of given rise. I'm wondering, it just seems to me that there's just a sociological, historical tie to we didn't have CrossFit before because we were working on our farms, working around the house, working in blue-collar jobs, doing functional movements all day.
Correct.
Right? And so now we've become a little more white-collar, a little more couch potatoes, a lot more watching, streaming Netflix, stuff like that.
Technology.
Yeah. So it's given the rise to not as much blue-collar work. So it sounds like this is CrossFit is a nice – it's bringing back what we've done all along, which is functional movements to keep ourselves healthy.
Correct, 100%. And I feel like, to answer your question, we definitely are a technology society. Kids are now, heads are in the phones. We offer CrossFit Kids. We want to get kids back into working out, being functional. I coach my son's football team, and you see kids as young as 8 years old drinking Mountain Dew. Those are certain things that, you know, again, that kids are going to be kids, and we want them to be kids, but we also want to make sure that we're teaching fitness, because that's ultimately the health piece that we're missing in a lot of our lives. It's just moving, getting that fitness in.
Well, if you want to be able to bend over and tie your shoes without groaning, and
why are you looking at me as you say?
I'll look at the wall. Or if you just want to, you know, get back in shape, or if you just want to meet some people, as Tommy was saying, be, you know, the community, make some friendships. Check out CrossFit Faded Glory.
And that's Tommy Morris, the owner of CrossFit Faded Glory, talking about the hottest workout trend, CrossFit, on Gwinnett Business Radio. To hear the entire interview, go to businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on the weekly show, Gwinnett Business Radio. Well, that's it for now. Business Radio X lets you hear from the top business leaders, executives, managers, and entrepreneurs in our communities, allowing them to share their stories of success. Today's interviews were just a few of thousands that you can hear anytime by visiting the Voice of Business, businessradiox.com. Until next time, I'm Mike Salmon, and this has been North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X.